Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Dear AFA. Today is Tuesday, August 10th, and this is Chicago Council 8 volunteer Rob Augino reporting. The media reports JetBlue flight attendant Steven Slater was pushed to the edge on Monday after a passenger ignored his instructions to sit down and to refrain from removing his bags from the overhead bin before the aircraft was parked. The passenger bag ultimately hit Slater in the head as he tried to enforce the regulations. The incident culminated with an exchange of heated insults. Slater took the PA to announce that he'd had enough. Then he promptly opened the emergency exit and used the slide to leave the aircraft. Following the initial media reports of Slater's dramatic exit, there was an immediate online explosion of support for him. Many called him their hero and held his dramatic exit from the job. This says a lot about the conditions on the job for workers everywhere when so many people are saying anger and frustration on the job is their primary experience too. They wish that they could do what Slater did, or something like it. The New York Times reports that Slater participated in JetBlue's In-Flight Values Committee. We don't know exactly what that means, but it seems to indicate that he is someone who was plugged into a certain extent and was recognized in some way by his management. Yet after decades as a flight attendant, he was pushed so far, he jumped. We don't know of all the circumstances associated with this specific incident, but the mounting tensions are indicative of the industry-wide frustration orchestrated by management focused on productivity and greed. As our union sister and flying partner explained to Congress earlier this summer, quote, "Just like my flying partners, some of whom have it worse than I do, I get on the airplane every day and I put everything aside to do my job. United Airlines management has no idea the toll it takes to do our professional work in spite of the personal sacrifices and the obstacles they create at home," end quote. Executives everywhere would have us believe that we should be lucky to have a job, no matter what that job looks like or how many jobs we have to work just to get by. Less pay, more work, decreased staffing. The truth is, over the last 25 years, executive pay has gone from 40 times what the average worker makes to well over 400 times, and it continues to rise. Passenger misconduct is inexcusable, and the media coverage of this specific story doesn't do this issue any justice. But it isn't the passengers who create these difficult situations on our aircraft, or the stress caused by inadequate pay, less time at home, and less flexibility when it comes to caring for a sick family member or simply dealing with personal issues that are important to all of us. How many of us have secretly imagined this scene playing out on our own aircraft? While the specific circumstances that led up to the frustration on either side of this incident may remain speculative, the growing frustration from everyone in the industry, other than the executives, is crystal clear. When an incident like this uncovers the way workers are really feeling on a job, it's a wonder there hasn't been a revolution in this country. As safety professionals, we don't condone Mr. Slater's actions, but we can't ignore the circumstances surrounding this incident. As flight attendants, we have the right to expect to work in an environment that offers us the pay we are due with the work rules that address our rest and other needs and provide us a meaningful opportunity to do our jobs to the best of our ability. Unlike Steven Slater, as union members, we know that we have a place to go to with our complaints and a way to voice our concerns and our anger to direct it for positive change. Our AFA Safety Committee has spent 60 years addressing workplace safety, health and security regulations, training, equipment, and procedures, most recently achieving an industry-leading program used at United to apply consistent procedures for dealing with passenger incidents and to provide consistent legal and emotional support for flight attendants who experience an assault or incident. Our AFA EAP committee provides confidential emotional support for us and our families on and off the job. Our grievance committee ensures our rights are upheld and that we have an advocate on the job. None of this would be possible without a union. Workers in the U.S. don't even have some of the most basic rights on the job without a union. But through our union, we not only have rights, we can organize our support for one another on the job through the largest flight attendant union that's led the way for advancing our job and safety and health in the cabin. And for thousands of flight attendants who may have the same urge to pull the handle and jump, we can provide other options and a way to lean on each other and work together for better conditions. With your union, you have a voice at work. Mr. Slater is not represented by a union at JetBlue, but through our union and as colleagues, we can offer him support and assistance to help him know that he's not alone. We're happy to report that Mr. Slater made bail this afternoon, and we are able to deliver the message from so many of you to his attorney that AFA members offer our assistance should he need it. This week, congratulations are due to our grievance committee, AFA members on the System Board of Adjustment, and our AFA attorneys for the latest arbitration win on the assignment of charter flying. In the charter grievance case MEC 308, we originally filed the grievance based upon the company's violation of Section 9A4, 9I, 9F, 12Q, and any other related sections of the agreement. The company's violation of Section 9A4 when they failed to place charters, i.e. the White House press, the sports charters, etc., in the lines of flying. The company's violation of Section 9I, 9F, and 12Q when the company failed to place open charter IDs in the open trip file and processed in accordance with the aforementioned sections. The company's violation of Section 9F9 when the company assigned select flight attendants to work open charter assignments in violation of the collective bargaining agreement. The System Board of Adjustments award states, as a remedy, we order that the company cease and desist from feeding names to charters and reiterate the need for the company to act in accordance with Section 9A4. This grievance was made possible by reports from many AFA members. Continue to write up any issue where you believe our contract has been violated. You make a huge difference for yourself and your flying partners when you do. Use the dispute resolution local council worksheet, easily accessible online in the lower left corner of our unitedafa.org website homepage. Upcoming AFA communications will provide educational material to make clear how this award reaffirms the application of our contract for the charters being placed in our lines of flying section, per section 9A4, along with operational assignment of charters through open flying process as described in section 9G. Last Friday's Dear AFA included an educational reminder about the domestic legality 8 and 24 that limits the scheduled flight time in a single duty period and provides an interim rest of 2-for-1 in between duty periods that together exceed 8 hours of flight time in a 24-hour period. What this legality really ensures is certain rest provisions when flying 8 hours or more within a 24-hour period. The example we provided on Friday was a Boston to San Francisco transcon, where the first leg is scheduled and actually flown at 6 hours and 25 minutes. In some cases, the next day's return trip would mean a flight attendant is actually flying more than 8 hours in a 24-hour period, and therefore the rest between the duty period must be 2 hours of rest for every 1 hour flown in the previous duty period. In this example, the rest must be at least 12 hours and 50 minutes free from duty following the 6 hours and 25 minutes actually flown from Boston to San Francisco on a 757. Remember to take debriefing and check-in time into consideration when reviewing block-to-block time indicated on the ID. Section 7I3A requires 15 minutes for debriefing time away from the home domicile, and Section 7I3B requires 45 minutes for a narrow-body check-in. The ID should then show a minimum layover of 13 hours and 50 minutes block-to-block for a total of 12 hours and 50 minutes free from duty after flying the return. After flying the return to Boston, a flight attendant must then have the required 16 hours free from duty following the 8 hours or more flown in a 24-hour in 24 hours during the previous two duty periods. In the actual operation, we may fly in excess of 8 hours, but only to the point we are scheduled for our next legal rest. When this happens, the 8 in 24 rest protection then requires relief from duty for 16 hours at the next scheduled or rescheduled point of rest. This 16 hours of rest essentially resets the clock. Consider, too, that the duty time limitations in Section 7I4 on page 48 of our contract may require an end to the duty day prior to exceeding 8 hours of flight time. The only limited exception to the 8 and 24 rule, as noted on Friday, is the single duty period two-segment ID to be scheduled or rescheduled up to 8 hours and 30 minutes per Section 7D1A. Again, this 8 hour and 30 minute exception can only be made for a 2-segment, 1-duty period trip, and it must be followed by the minimum requirement of 16 hours free from duty. Whatever your schedule, every time you fly, be sure to protect your legalities that we fought so hard to achieve and maintain. Protecting what we have sets a firm foundation for achieving improvements. As we use corporate email to check essential United communications that would have otherwise been placed in our mailbox in the domicile, keep in mind that you are only obligated to read any designated must-read mail. The must-read mail in your corporate United email account need only be read in the 5 minutes allotted between check-in and briefing. If you are unable to complete the task of reading the must-read mail in the allotted time, please notify your AFA local council and United. All members should exercise caution when using any United computer. Remember that corporate email and Unimatic e-notes are operated by United Airlines, and they should not ever be considered confidential. Personal use for any reason is strongly discouraged. Further, checking your own email on company property or conducting any personal business on United's computers opens your personal life to United Airlines. Your information may no longer be your own. When using these systems, you should remember and understand that all communication is monitored. Take care, and for your own protection, leave your own personal discussions and business off United's property. There were no negotiation sessions last week. Our next mediation session will be held in Chicago the week of August 23, 2010, with contract sections 15, training, 17, seniority, 21, reduction in personnel, 22, filling of vacancies, and 24, moving expenses on the agenda, in addition to other open items. Look for the latest edition of Negotiations and You newsletter to arrive at your home soon. That's all for this evening. Thanks for calling, and remain informed as we stand strong together to do whatever it takes to achieve an industry-leading contract. Thanks again, and have a good night.